This is the Internet Multicasting Service. Harper Audio presents part two of a speech by Frederick Douglass, read by actor Norman Matlock. In this section, Douglass describes the abuse of slaves and reads some of the statutory punishments contained in the laws of the United States.
We have in the United States slave breeding states. The very state from which the minister from our court to yours comes is one of these states, Maryland, where men, women, and children are reared for the market, just as horses, sheep, and swine are raised for the market. Slave rearing is there looked upon as a legitimate trade. The law sanctions it, public opinion upholds it, the church does not condemn it. It goes on in all its bloody horrors, sustained by the auctioneer's block. If you would see the cruelties of this system, hear the following narrative. Not long since, the following scene occurred. A slave woman and a slave man had united themselves as man and wife in the absence of any law to protect them as man and wife. They had lived together by the permission, not by right, of their master, and they had reared a family. The master found it expedient and for his interest to sell them. He did not ask them their wishes in regard to the matter at all. They were not consulted. The man and woman were brought to the auctioneer's block under the sound of the hammer. The cry was raised, "Here goes, who bids cash?" Think of it. A man and wife to be sold. The woman was placed on the auctioneer's block. Her limbs, as is customary, were brutally exposed to the purchasers, who examined her with all the freedom with which they would examine a horse. There stood the husband, powerless, no right to his wife, the master's right preeminent. She was sold. He was next brought to the auctioneer's block. His eyes followed his wife in the distance, and he looked beseechingly, imploringly to the man that had bought his wife to buy him also. But he was at length bid off to another person. He was about to be separated forever from her whom he loved. No word of his, no work of his could save him from this separation. He asked permission of his new master to go and take the hand of his wife at parting. It was denied him. In the agony of his soul, he rushed from the man who had just bought him that he might take a farewell of his wife. But his way was obstructed. He was struck over the head with a loaded whip and was held for a moment. But his agony was too great. When he was let go, he fell a corpse at the feet of his master. His heart was broken. Such scenes are the everyday fruits of American slavery. Some 2 years since, the Honorable Seth M. Gates, an anti-slavery gentleman of the state of New York, a representative in the Congress of the United States, told me he saw with his own eyes the following circumstance. In the National District of Columbia, over which the Star-Spangled Emblem is constantly waving, where orators are ever holding forth on the subject of American liberty, American democracy, American republicanism, there are two slave prisons. When going across a bridge leading to one of these prisons, he saw a young woman run out, barefooted and bareheaded, and with very little clothing on. She was running with all speed to the bridge he was approaching. His eye was fixed upon her, and he stopped to see what was the matter. He had not paused long before he saw three men run out after her. He now knew what the nature of the case was. A slave escaping from her chains, a young woman, a sister, escaping from the bondage in which she had been held. She made her way to the bridge, but had not reached it, ere from the Virginia side there came two slaveholders. As soon as they saw them, her pursuers called out, "Stop her!" True to their Virginian instincts, they came to the rescue of their brother kidnappers across the bridge. The poor girl now saw that there was no chance for her. It was a trying time. She knew if she went back, she must be a slave forever. She must be dragged down to the scenes of pollution which the slaveholders continually provide for most of the poor, sinking, wretched young women whom they call their property. She formed her resolution, and just as those who were about to take her were going to put hands upon her to drag her back, she leaped over the balustrades of the bridge, and down she went to rise no more. She chose death rather than to go back into the hands of those Christian slaveholders from whom she had escaped. Can it be possible that such things as these exist in the United States? Are not these the exceptions? Are any such scenes as this general? Are not such deeds condemned by the law and denounced by public opinion? Let me read you a few of the laws of the slaveholding states of America. I think no better exposure of slavery can be made than is made by the laws of the states in which slavery exists. I prefer reading the laws to making my statement in confirmation of what I have said myself. For the slaveholders cannot object to this testimony, since it is the calm, the cool, the deliberate enactment of their wisest heads, of their most clear-sighted, their own constituted representatives. If more than 7 slaves together are found in any road without a white person, 20 lashes apiece. For visiting a plantation without a written pass, 10 lashes. For letting loose a boat from where it is made fast, 39 lashes for the first offense, and for the second shall have cut off from his head 1 ear. For keeping or carrying a club, 39 lashes. For having any article for sale without a ticket from his master, 10 lashes. For traveling in any other than the most usual and accustomed road when going alone to any place, 40 lashes. For traveling in the night without a pass, 40 lashes. I am afraid you do not understand the awful character of these lashes. You must bring it before your mind. A human being in a perfect state of nudity, tied hand and foot to a stake, and a strong man standing behind with a heavy whip knotted at the end, each blow cutting into the flesh and leaving the warm blood dripping to the feet. And for these trifles, for being found in another person's Negro quarters, 40 lashes. For hunting with dogs in the woods, 30 lashes. For being on horseback without the written permission of his master, 25 lashes. For riding or going abroad in the night, or riding horses in the daytime without leave, a slave may be whipped, cropped, or branded in the cheek with the letter R, or otherwise punished, such punishment not extending to life, or so as to render him unfit for labor. The laws referred to may be found by consulting Brevard's Digest, Haywood's Manual, Virginia Revised Code, Prince's Digest, Missouri Laws, Mississippi Revised Code. A man for going to visit his brethren without the permission of his master, and in many instances he may not have that permission, his master from caprice or other reasons may not be willing to allow it, may be caught on his way, dragged to a post, the branding iron heated, and the name of his master or the letter R branded into his cheek or on his forehead. They treat slaves thus on the principle that they must punish for light offenses in order to prevent the commission of larger ones. I wish you to mark that in the single state of Virginia, there are 71 crimes for which a colored man may be executed, while there are only 3 of these crimes which, when committed by a white man, will subject him to that punishment. There are many of these crimes which, if the white man did not commit, he would be regarded as a scoundrel and a coward. In the state of Maryland, there is a law to this effect, that if a slave shall strike his master, he may be hanged, his head severed from his body quartered, and his head and quarters set up in the most prominent places in the neighborhood. If a colored woman, in the defense of her own virtue, in defense of her own person, should shield herself from the brutal attacks of her tyrannical master, or make the slightest resistance, she may be killed on the spot. No law whatever will bring the guilty man to justice for the crime. But you will ask me, can these things be possible in a land professing Christianity? Yes, they are so, and this is not the worst. No darker feature is yet to be presented than the mere existence of these facts. I have to inform you that the religion of the Southern states at this time is the great supporter, the great sanctioner of the bloody atrocities to which I have referred. While America is printing tracts and Bibles, sending missionaries abroad to convert the heathen, expending her money in various ways for the promotion of the gospel in foreign lands, the slave not only lies forgotten, uncared for, but is trampled underfoot by the very churches of the land.
This has been Harper Audio. HarperCollins is the copyright owner of this recording and has consented to a limited distribution of Harper Audio as an 8 kHz computer sound file on Internet Town Hall. It is a violation of United States and international copyright laws to copy these recordings in any other way. Harper Audio is a trademark of HarperCollins Publishers, Inc. To order a copy of this tape or to request a catalog of all Harper Audio spoken word cassettes, please call 1-800-C-HARPER or 717-941-1214 or send mail to harper@town.hall.org. This has been a production of the Internet Multicasting Service. Support for Harper Audio is provided by HarperCollins and by Sun Microsystems and O'Reilly & Associates. Network connectivity for the Internet Multicasting Service is provided by UUNET Technologies and MFS DataNet.